Welcome to the show. Welcome back, everyone, after a busy marathon weeks.
That's right. Welcome to another edition of the Ragged Antique Phonograph program with me, your host, Antique Phonograph DJ Mac.
And Mike the Barber.
We are here back in the studio bringing you our regularly scheduled program.
I feel like I'm back in the saddle again.
We are in a different studio. We're totally doing a different kind of program. Now we're back in our comfort zone.
Back to the music.
And we start off there with one of the big annoying songs from 1923. You know, people were writing parody songs of this song and talking about how they, everywhere they went, they couldn't stop hearing this song, how annoying it was to hear. Yet everyone's going around going, hey, yes, we have no bananas. Yes, we have no bananas. They talk about how annoying it was.
Yeah. The Happiness Boys did their sequel.
Which one is it?
I've got the Yes, We Have No Banana Blues.
Yes, I have a copy of that, I think, by Esther Walker.
Okay.
Also.
That's to show you how popular it was.
Yep. And that was the version by the Great White Way Orchestra from 1923, starting us off.
Yes. So, we were above in a different studio before. Now we're back in our, back in the home base. We were like, it's the only time I'll ever mention sports. We were like away. I felt like we were playing at someone else's stadium.
Right. Well, I always used to do my show up in studio.
That's right. He told me that.
When I was thinking about the complications of doing it up there and having an engineer every week, I figured, we'll just carry the machines down the stairs and do
it. So what do we got coming up next?
We're going to hear now, everyone maybe knows that old song by Connie Francis, Who's Sorry Now? But it goes way back. And we're going to hear a version from the Memphis Five. Probably from about 1923. We'll look it up in a second. But it's their version of Who's Sorry Now? A little more jazzy version.
Thank you.
From 1923, Memphis 5.
Some nice Dixieland jazz there. That's the way jazz started.
Yep. How does it end? It's not over.
Jazz is not dead. It just smells bad.
It's just very, very sick.
Miles Davis said jazz was dead in the 70s. And I don't know. Jazz has had a rough time from being the world's most popular music to sort of marginalized to some specialty thing.
Right.
Know, but we keep jazz alive, the old jazz.
Someone's got to.
Lots of people doing it in the city here.
Tirelessly carrying it on my back. It weighs so much. Yeah. I'm a small guy. Let's jump 3 years ahead to a Pathé label that was transferred. And this one's from 26. And it's a Hebrew take on the Charleston. I should say.
Is it a Harleston? It's not a Harleston.
But Irving Kaufman has a little vocal refrain in it.
He
mentions Henry Ford, who we were just talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So let's take a listen to this. So here's Nathan Glantz and his orchestra with Yiddisha Charleston. Nathan Glantz. Hey, you.
Oh, man. it's got that, like, sort of horror element to it.
Which it's just minor keyed, you know?
Yeah. That's so, a nice one.
Yeah, so from 26. And, you know, it made me, I wanted to play it. I wanted to play some type of Yiddish tune. The latest issue of New York Magazine just came out yesterday. And I subscribe to this. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, I'm totally disappointed. And I'm like, why do I still get New York Magazine? I don't even know how much I'm paying anymore every month. But this one's actually fantastic, and you should go get a copy of it. It's called After Midnight, Mayhem, Mischief, and Romance from 1850 to the Present. That's the latest New York Magazine
All right.
that came out last week. But there was a little article in there that made me think of this, and I got kind of choked up when I read about this. To summarize, the whole magazine's about stuff that happens after midnight, you know, in New York, and all and crazy stuff from the 19th century through current times.
Okay.
And so these three doctors received someone in the ER who was riding his Harley down the FDR. He got run over by a semi. He was, you know, wasn't breathing, close to death. I mean, really, literally on his deathbed. So he had to call in, the doctor had to call in a neurosurgeon. And so between the three of their names, you got a Goldberg, you got Schwartzbaum, Damore, and so they pulled him into the operating room, and they tore off his jacket and everything, as they have to do when you're in this situation, and they saw anti-Semite tattoos and white power tattoos and swastikas all up and down his body, and they performed their duty, and one of them leaned over into the guy's face and said, "Dude, I just wanted you to know a bunch of Jews just saved your ass."
Right. He's walked around his whole life.
Yeah.
"I don't like the Jews. I don't like the Jews.
Yeah.
Save me, Jews!"
Three of them just saved his life.
Oh, man. And we were talking a little bit more about, because the CD you found in the library, about Henry Ford and his whole campaign in the Dearborn Examiner of ongoing Jew hating.
Starting in 1921.
And there was a lawsuit at a certain point, and he got shut down. He issued some kind of half-hearted apology because he had to.
Right.
And you got some, you found some songs about that, and you play those another time.
Yeah, but, we'll save those for another occasion. But definitely pick up this New York, the latest issue. It's got great stuff on the electrification of Times Square, the whole billboard. Mm. You know, the birth of the billboard pre-1892. You know, after sunset, no one's seeing any advertisements.
Right.
And then after that, in 1904, they sort of built out this Times Square area and electrified it. And, you know, it was sort of pre-television commercials.
It's amazing how dark New York is. I remember during the blackouts.
Yeah, me too.
Walking around saying, "Wow, it's dark in this town."
Yeah.
It never was this dark before.
Yeah, where's the lamplighter?
Day of living of night. Day at night.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue.
Let's do it.
Mike, I wrote a blog this week about... you know, I was listening to, I got the new D'Angelo record. Are you into him at all? Did you used to be into him?
I'm not. You, I'm aware of him. Actually, he won, oh my God, the Apollo. He was like 16 years.
Was he Showtime and the Apollo winner?
Yeah, he was like 16 years old.
He used to do a lot. And then he seemed to be gone, but he had a new record out. My girlfriend's like, "You should get that." And we've been really loving it. It's really great.
Yeah. But, I never thought we'd be talking about D'Angelo on the Ragged Antique Phonograph program, right?
Well, it's got one song on there where it's just like this melody, and then there's this whistling chorus. Mm. And we think, oh, a song from 2015 with whistling. And we think, boy, one of the first records I got in my first Victrola was a whistling record. And listening to it and say, wow, how weird that was. And then, you know, it made me think about how every decade has had songs with whistling in it. There's always been whistling. And probably 10,000 years ago was one of the first ways people were making music.
Yeah.
By just whistling.
Yeah.
So we have our blog, which is called Phono Dudes on Tumblr. If you'd like to read a little bit about what I wrote about the connection between George Attlee, who was one of the first whistlers on record, to D'Angelo.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play a big whistling song, which I think this was also used as a... Three Stooges intro for their TV show in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
This is by Arthur Miller's... sorry, not Arthur Miller.
Death of a Salesman.
Arthur Nexus. Oh, Arthur Pryor's band.
I thought you were going to say Richard Pryor next.
Right. His very big one, The Whistler and His Dog from 1913. Thank you.
They're Pryor's band for you.
That sounded like a real dog to me. A lot of times you'd have someone like Gil Gerard. There are a lot of vocal artists that would be doing those onomatopoeias.
Right, right.
But I think that sounded like a real dog to me. For some reason, they got a dog in there. They probably wrapped tape around its mouth until the last second. I'm sure they did not practice
no.
Good animal practices.
They didn't.
Kicked it and made it bark.
I'm reading some of the comments here. Web Hamster Henry. Web Hamster Henry said, this was a demo on one of my old Casio calculator watches. Also have it as a piano roll in a really nice arrangement.
Nice.
So
nice.
We do look at the comments. And so if you want to write comments, the board is open. It's live. That was Arthur Pryor's band. Arthur Pryor was actually a star trombonist years earlier with John Philip Sousa toward the end of the 19th century.
He went solo.
He broke off. He was like, I'm out of this super group. I'm doing my own thing.
This Sousa guy's holding me back.
Yeah, so.
I got my own brocade on my jacket. I got my own medals. they're shinier. They're just as shiny as John Philip Sousa's.
He pulled out all the stops, and he always
played down at Ocean Grove, New Jersey.
Right, at the gazebo.
Regular concerts down there, which you can still see that gazebo.
I love gazebos. Let's keep up with the whistling theme here, and let's jump to 1927 with the ever-so-popular team of Creamer and Layton, who wrote tons of hits in the 1920s. This one, of course, you'll recognize after you've gone. It's by the California Ramblers, and there's some artistic whistling halfway through the song. So let's take a listen to these guys doing After You've Gone. California Ramblers with After You've Gone from 1927, possibly Ed Kirkaby doing the whistling there, but it's not certain. Ed Kirkaby?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like he could have either been, I had it written down somewhere over here
He wasn't a whistler of note.
He wasn't a whistler of note. He was possibly the manager publicist.
Ah.
Possibly he did sing. Kirkby did sing on three other numbers that were recorded in that same day.
Mm.
So
he wasn't one of those famous whistlers like Charles Kellogg.
No.
Alice Shaw and her twin whistling daughters.
I love Charles's cereals, though. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
His Rice Krispies. You know what? Rice Krispies have been around for a long time. I don't know if a lot of people know this out there, but that goes back to the early 30s, Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Those guys?
Yeah.
They must be old. Snap, are they still alive?
Who knows? They definitely do not snap, crackle, and pop anymore if they are still around.
Their back just snap, crackles, and pops.
When they walk, it's their joints. That's a good, like, SNL cartoon sketch. You know, like, an SNL would have those little animated shorts.
Right.
They should do that with the
snap, like,
crackle.
Snap, like, you know, he's him, like, falling over, breaking his cane. Crackle is, I don't know what that is, but the pop is, like, the one guy's back popping.
Or his knee.
Oh!
You know what? We're going to, let's do this, because we got lots of followers between the both of us on Instagram. Have someone draw it up. We have very artistic listeners. Someone do a little sketch of a elderly snap, crackle, and pop. From Rice Krispies.
Sitting in front of the gramophone complaining
about
how old they are.
And I'll repost it. We'll both repost it. You know, at Mike Will Cut You.
And Phonograph DJ Mac.
All right.
It can also tie into the snap, crackle, and pop of the record Surface Noise.
That's true.
I sometimes say to people, these records come complete with Rice Krispies. What do you mean? It's got snap, crackle, and pop. Listen.
Rich Connolly says, the Sultan of Surface Noise.
Sultan of Surface Noise.
All right. Let's take it back to 1911 right now, right?
Right. With another, artistic whistlers were instrumentalists. I call them instrumentalists. I put them in that category in my record collection because I categorize my records.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
I don't alphabetize them. And so another great instrumentalist and one of the great banjos of the period, Mr. Fred Van Epps, doing some ragtime with a tune called Rag Pickin'.
Thank you.
I ain't seen such fine picking since they left Moses out in the desert with that dry air.
I was going to say, since your nose this morning.
You were on the same path. You were on the same path as me.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about American Pickers, but that's not as funny. Oof, he was giving the Banjo King a little run for his money there.
Yeah, some nice raggy picking there for sure.
Yeah, that was Fred Van Epps in 1911 with rag pickings. If you're just tuning in, this is the Ragged Antique Phonograph program coming to you live every Tuesday here with DJ Mac.
And Mike the Barber.
Woo! We are killing it tonight. I wanted to play this next song, and it was from someone who's not too popular, as Fred Van Epps was, Lil McClintock.
I don't know him.
Maybe he was, what do you think, maybe he was related to Harry?
Maybe it's him under an alias?
Possibly.
I don't know. What year is this
1930.
Song right around the time of him.
Could have been. But I like this one because just like we do with pop music nowadays, especially I feel like rap songs, they bring up earlier songs, you know, from maybe a few years ago, and they mix it in
sampling?
With their song. Yeah, they sample it or they reference, you know, they'll reference an earlier song.
Right.
And, you know, he does this here, but pretty straightforward. He mentions, sings his version of about three or four different earlier songs, including a real old turn of the 20th century Lou Dockstader tune called Everybody Works But Father, and he puts his own spin on that. And then he even does a little bit of Watermelon Party, which was done by Polk Miller and the Old South Quartet from 09. But back in the day, they used to, you know, about Santa Claus, they would say, like, oh, I ain't your Santa Claus, or, you know, like your sugar daddy.
Okay.
Santa Claus would be a substitute for, you know, either sugar mama or sugar daddy. And so I think it's a great one by Mr. McClintock, 1930. Don't think I'm Santa
Let's
Claus.
Please don't think it I'm Santa Claus, 'cause Christmas comes every day. You can hear them sleigh bells ringing now, every time you turn around this way. You need not think it I'm a human being, it's nothing but a fraud. 'Cause I bring you present every once in a while. Don't think I'm Santa Claus. Lindy, oh Lindy, you're sweeter than sugar cane. Lindy, Lindy, say you'll be mine. While the moon am a shining and my heart am a twining, meet me dear little Lindy by the wall of men I'm fine. Oh Lindy, Lindy, sweeter than sugar cane. Oh Lindy, Lindy, say you'll be mine. While the moon am a shining and my heart am a twining, meet me there, little Lindy, by the wall of men I'm fine. Now keep a little close the corner in your heart for me, heart for me. I'll be as good to you as anyone can be, just wait and see. If you promise what I'll ask you, we'll both agree, both agree. Keep a little close the corner in your heart for me. Keep a little close the corner in your heart for me, heart for me. I'll be as good to you as anyone can be, just wait and see. If you promise what I'll ask you, we'll both agree, both agree. Keep a little close the corner in your heart for me. It's Lindy, oh Lindy, you're sweeter than sugar cane. Lindy, Lindy, say you'll be mine. While the moon am a shining and my heart am a twining, meet me dear little Lindy by the wall of men unfine. Now everybody wakes but father, he sits around all day with his feet up to the fire, smoking a pipe of clay. Mother takes in washing, so is sister Ann. Everybody wakes at our house that day. Old man, it's Lindy, oh Lindy, you're sweeter than sugar cane. Lindy, Lindy, say you'll be mine. While the moon am a shining and my heart am a twining, meet me dear little Lindy by the wall I'm in on the vine. Father went to work this morning at a dollar and a half a day. Done took his feet from the fire, done throwed his pipe away. Mother's quit ticking and washing, so is Sister Ann. Now everybody taking vacation. Said the old man, it's Lindy, oh Lindy, sweeter than sugar cane. Lindy, Lindy, say you'll be mine. While the moon am a shining and my heart am a twining, meet me dear little Lindy by the wall, I'm in I'm fine.
Lil McClintock with Don't Think I'm Your Santa Claus.
Right, so he wouldn't be related to Harry.
No.
You let me know that he's an African-American.
Yeah. Yes.
And Harry was not.
No, he was not. Brothers from other mothers.
Brother from another mother.
Yeah. So what do we got?
Next we got coming up Mr. Georgie Price, who was a popular vaudeville performer. From what I'm reading on the internet, you can't read everything, believe everything on the internet, that
no.
He was actually kind of discovered by Enrico Caruso.
Oh, really?
Performing on the street.
Look at him.
And then he did some performing with him, and he had him come do some concerts, and then sort of got recognized and went on to a recording and performing career into the 20s.
Hmm.
And did some Vitaphone shorts.
Uh-huh.
So some of our friends will know about him from doing those. And let's hear his song, Morning Will Come, from Bombo.
Yeah, from 1923.
Nighttime is another word for sadness. We lighten gladness unto the day. Darkest hours come before the dawning of golden morning, and so I say, don't mind the darkness, morning will come. Shadows are bound to go by, and when they fly, rosy dawn will kiss us by. So don't mind your troubles, we all have some. Watch for the star of the dawn, and keep saying, morning will come. If the sun were always shining for us, it soon would bore us to view the day. Ups and downs are what make life worth living, to be forgiving and learn to say, don't mind the darkness, morning will come. Shadows are bound to go by, and when they fly, rosy dawn will kiss us by. Don't mind your troubles, we all have some. Watch for the star of the dawn, and keep saying, morning will come.
Man, he sounds just like Al Jolson there.
Yeah, a lot of times they were confused on record, for sure.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. He's got that nasally drawl. When I was listening to him, I don't think I've actually heard Price before.
Yeah, I don't think he has that many records. I think I have two, and I don't really know how many he has.
Yeah, but I just heard that, and I was like, oh, I just heard Jolson coming through.
Yeah.
And you said that recording was done in 23.
Right, right.
So he had time to practice. Mm-hmm. I want to play Al Jolson now, actually.
Okay.
We haven't played him in a while.
Is he going to whistle? Another great whistler.
He was an artistic whistler.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to whistle in this song, but it's still an upbeat, funny. It's a tongue twister song.
Mm-hmm.
So
Sister Susie sewing Shirts for the service?
Close. Sewing. Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers. We can't even say it. How did they sing it?
I can't believe I guessed that.
Yeah, you did. It could have been the whole thing. Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers in the service.
Sister Susie sewing shirts for...
Well, what you'll hear him do in this song, he starts off singing it, and boy, does he just nail it. He just knocks it out of the park. But then he turns to the audience, and he asks them, can you join me as well? And he's going to give some prizes away to any lady or gentleman who could sing the song without getting tongue-tied. Hmm. And let me just hand it over to Jolie before I get tongue-tied.
Okay. Sister Susie sewing in the kitchen on a singer. There's miles and miles of flannel on the floor and on the stairs. And father's head is rotten, getting mixed up with a cotton, and sitting on the needles that he leaves upon the chairs. And should you knock at our front door, mother says, come inside. And if you ask where Susie is, she says, with a loving pride, Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers. But still at sewing shirts, our shy young sister Susie shows. Some soldiers send epistles, saying they'd sooner sleep on thistles than the saucy, soft, short shirts for soldiers Sister Susie sews. Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers. But still at sewing shirts, our shy young sister Susie shows. Some soldiers send epistles, saying they'd sooner sleep on thistles than the saucy, soft, short shirts for soldiers Sister Susie sews.
I'm certainly glad that's through. Now, if there's any lady or gentleman in the audience would like to sing a song, I will offer a prize. To any lady that will sing a song, I will offer a prize, a 10-pound box of candy. Either Hyler's, Cajun Shaw's, Liggett's, or Park and Pilfer's. I used to mention only one name, but they didn't send me anything. A 10-pound box of candy to a lady, and a nice brand-new hat to any gentleman. If there any lady or gentleman in the house would like to sing a song,
I'll try it.
All right, go ahead. I hope you win it.
Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers.
That's good, that's good.
The skill at sewing shirts, our shy young sister Susie shows.
Take it easy.
Some soldiers send her pistols.
That's funny, some soldiers send her pistols. Why didn't you say revolvers and be done with it? Now, folks, you've all heard the song a couple of times. I think we ought to all sing it together. Let's get together and sing it all by ourselves. Now.
Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers.
That's fine.
The skill at sewing shirts, our shy young sister Susie sews.
Good. Don't
some
say pistols.
Some soldiers send their pistols. Say they soon asleep on sisters.
That's great.
And the saucy shirts
fine.
For soldiers. Sister Susie sews.
I am exhausted. We were singing along with him. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's too many words for a sing-along. You'd have to follow the bouncing shirt button for that one.
But that was the thing. That was a fad, you know, these tongue twister songs. Jack Norworth not only sang that song, but he also had a few other ones, like Mother's Sittin' Knittin' Kittens for Knittin' Mittens.
Yeah.
Something.
There's a few of those going around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was a sort of World War One song.
Yeah, just at the start, 1914. Yeah.
And we're going to do another one here, which is another World War One song, which relates to you a little bit, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 with your haircut just as short as mine.
Yeah, that's me. And that's the noise that the buzzer makes. Zip, zip, zip.
Zip, zip, zip. There you go.
But we noticed on the record something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This record, it gives the title and the label. Under it says, sung by Eugene Buckley and the Peerless Quartet.
Yeah, it's a misprint. They misspelt it. That's unbelievable on the real 78.
It's really unusual. It's rare that got through.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's really valuable.
He got fired.
This record must be worth $2.
He got fired. He moved on to the Post.
But this is a good upbeat World War One song about life in the army. So let's hear it. They made a two mistakes on that record. One, calling it Eugene Buckley. Maybe that was a alias for sound like Arthur Fields to me.
Yeah, we got a lot of aliases on tonight's show.
And you know, hearing that song, I remember Tom Waits took that "Good Morning, Mr. Zip Zip Zip" and wrote it into one of his songs.
Okay,
something out of a barbershop.
Oh.
He tied it into because Tom's a fan of old records.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, did I tell you about that Tom Waits 78 that I got?
No. What was that?
A few years ago, he did a thing with the New Orleans Preservation Jazz Band.
Okay.
And they released like 100 copies of a 78 that they did.
Right. So was it an online bidding?
It was, you had to go on at midnight.
Okay.
There was like 250 copies available.
Oh, yeah.
And I went on at midnight and got one.
Wow.
And I kicked myself for not getting five of them, coming out to like $500 on eBay.
You think they would let you? Or what? Do you think it was just, you know?
You could have bought as many as you want, I would imagine. I don't know.
Okay. Sometimes like a Ticketmaster or something, you know, you could only, they put a limit on you. They say you could only get two tickets.
I just got one at the time.
And, yeah, and you still have it.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw it. I played it on the show, not on the gramophone.
Right. So what do we got? We got 10 minutes left to go, so let's get right into it. Let's go to 1927. Here's Irving Aronson and his Commanders. Lots of people were writing songs about the problems that they just couldn't find the space to make love when make love just meant wooing. And, you know, they're going in an airplane, they're going in car rides, and they just can't find that secluded corner or get enough of the girl's family members out of the house to, you know, keep
to make
going,
a little whoopee.
To make a little whoopee.
Just do some spooning. That's all I wanted.
I never see Maggie alone. Irving Aronson and his Commanders. Phil Sachs out on vocals sounds like Ed Wynn as the Mad Hatter there.
Yeah, yeah.
You just hear like his tongue wagging out around his mouth.
He does that on a few Irving Aronson songs. He's got a great stressed out voice. Let's get another song before we're done, Mike. We're going to hear from Arthur Collins. It's our oldest record of the night from 1905. Rufus Rastus Johnson Brown. What you gonna do when the rent comes round? It's the end of the month, everybody. You should be thinking about it.
Who dat a knocking at the door below? Who dat a shivering in the hail and snow? I can hear you grumbling, Mr. Rufus Brown. Yes, keep on a knocking, baby, can't come down. I want to tell you that you can't get in. Have you been a gambling, honey, since you win? What's that you tell me, coon, you lost your breath? I hope you're freeze to death. Remember to finish off Billy Bailey, and get wise, nigga, you hear me? Rufus Rastus Johnson Brown. What you gonna do when the rent comes around? What you gonna say? How you gonna pay? You never had a bit of sense of judgment there. You know I know a rent means dough. Landlords are gonna put us out in the snow. Rufus Rastus Johnson Brown. what you're gonna do when the river come around. Keep on a banging on the old front door. In just a minute, then you'll hear me snore. If I go to bed without a bite or sup, bicycle when I wake up. Where's all the money that you spent your dream? Melted all away just like a snow last spring. Rufus, I love you, but this pleasure ride. Guess that's sufficient. Good night. Good night. Rufus, rest is Johnson Brown. What you gonna do when the rent comes around? What you gonna say? How you gonna pay? You'll never have a bit of sense of judgment. You know I know a rent means dough. Landlords are gonna put us out in the snow. Rufus, rest is Johnson Brown. What you gonna do when the rent comes around? Well, Rufus, rest is Johnson Brown. What you gonna do when the rent comes around? What you gonna say? How you gonna pay? You'll never have a bit of sense of judgment. You know I know rent means dough. Landlords are gonna put us out in the snow. Rufus, rest is Johnson Brown. What you gonna do when the rent come around?
You know, about 40 years later, Jimmy Durante did a version of that song,
really?
Minus the racially derogatory language.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? Jim Nabors did a version of Preacher and the Bear in the 60s. Totally cleaned up the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they, you know.
Slower, faster, up-tempo, more folk?
Oh, it's more country.
Okay.
Much more country. Turned okay. into a... A preacher went out hunting, was on the way only Jim Nabors could do it.
That's the Preacher and the Bear, though.
I just said that.
Oh,
he
okay.
did a version of the Preacher and the Bear, but he cleaned it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's true. It went on and on. Well, it's the Ragged Antique Phonograph Program coming to you every Tuesday. And
we should take a second to say thank you to all the listeners who contributed to the marathon. We
yes.
have reached our goal.
Yes.
Woo! So that's fantastic. Thank you, everyone, so much. Look out for those letters and envelopes coming your way, because it's all theory at this point until you send in that money.
Yeah.
So
you know
make
what?
Make sure you follow through.
But I miss the operators. There was a lot of enthusiasm. It was like doing it in front of a live audience,
right.
you know? It was,
well, you know what?
The show had a different
we
feel to it.
We should plan soon to do a show down in Monty Hall where we invite
okay.
people to come down.
All right.
So let's talk about that and look at the schedule.
So
plan
your flights now, all you West Coast and international listeners.
Yeah. We're going to have some other remotes coming up in the spring, too. We're going to get out there a little bit more.
Cool. All right. Until then, you could follow us on Instagram.
I am Phonograph DJ Mac.
And I'm at Mike Will Cut You. Check out the blog. Check out the Facebook. All that other stuff. And
our blog is PhonoDudes on Tumblr. Tumblr.com/PhonoDudes.
And if you caught just a bit of the show, you could always listen to the archives. You could get the WFMU app, which is so easy that I can do it. So
and,
easy that I can do it.
The show's podcast. You can get it automatically sent to your eye crap, whatever you got.
My ice cream.
Yeah.
And that's it. Until next week, we'll say au revoir, but not goodbye.
Nighty night, everybody. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org.
Ta-ta.
Yeah, everything else. 여보세요. 마이크를 시험하고 있습니다. 마이크를 시험하고 있습니다. 아, 여보세요.
Here we go.